You're listening to Bit by Bit, July 26, 2010.
This is Zoe Sprenkle reporting from North Station in Boston, Massachusetts. We have been at the BLC conference and...
The Building Learning Communities Conference, put on by who? Quiz question, quick.
Alla November.
Exactly, the Alla November group, go ahead.
And on Wednesday, we saw Marco Torres and his crew do a workshop called Don't Just Write About It, Produce Documentaries in Your Class.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Marco, as always. What were you inspired?
I was inspired definitely by, they said some things about A-roll and B-roll, which he'll tell you about, but that really inspired me and it was very interesting.
You're going to make some movies?
Yes.
Okay. You will enjoy. Keep coming back. We'll have workshops coming every day from the Building Learning Communities Conference in Boston, Massachusetts with the Alla November Group, summer of 2010. Good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Still good morning, right? No? What time? Oh, wait. Sorry. I'm in California time. Sorry. My bad. Good afternoon. Good morning from California. Is that better? Hey, look at the picture I took today. Isn't that cool? Of all you guys? Isn't that? You know what I was thinking? I was so up there. I was so nervous because I wanted to get it done really fast. I didn't want to inconvenience anybody. And I know that place was hot this morning. I actually wanted to turn off the lights, but that didn't work out. So just pretend that's actually cooler than it could have been. So that would help me out. Hi, everybody. My name is Marco Torres, and I'm going to be talking about how to really take the opportunity to look at documentaries as just another really cool way to make, to use the language of some of my students, to make school really suck less. How do we do some really cool documentaries? You know, it's funny, whenever I go to schools, we do a terrible job selling documentaries because a lot of our kids have been so bombarded by documentaries in their classes that they get like, oh, they get irked knowing that, oh my gosh, so we're gonna have to make one of those boring films because that's what they assume documentaries are. And you know, in the most part, that's not really the case. You know, documentaries are actually, good documentaries are good movies, aren't they? I mean, look at the increase of documentaries in film now. I mean, when we were younger, I don't know how old some of you are, but when we were younger, it was hard to go and see a documentary in the big theater. You know, unless you were a hippie and you knew some friends that were showing it at somebody's coffee shop, right? Documentaries weren't something that people saw. I mean, they've gone up like 700% in 3 years. I mean, I am amazed how many documentaries win like audience awards. So anyhow, they become like superstar kind of projects. So, and documentaries also, they allow us to see things that we normally probably wouldn't read about. Let's be honest. Some of you watched documentaries about things that you normally wouldn't pick up a book or a magazine about. I always tell people the story of last year I had to fly from Frankfurt to LA. And you know how some of those airplanes you have, you can choose your movies. And so I'm a documentary buff, so one of the films was Anvil. And Anvil is a story of a Canadian heavy metal band. Now, I'm not into heavy metal music. I probably wouldn't read a book or read about heavy metal music. I probably wouldn't go to Wikipedia and read about heavy metal music. However, I saw this little trailer about this band, and the storyline was really, it's about this band that's been performing for 30 years, trying to make it as a heavy metal band. And the story is about how much they struggled, you know, with drugs, with friends, with family, jobs, relationships, the industry itself. It's a really sad, you know, it's a really sad story. And I'm watching this film on the airplane, and like a quarter of the way of the film, I'm crying like a baby. It's a heavy metal film. I'm crying to a heavy metal film. And I'm crying because it's about these guys that are turning down things left and right because they are adamant about making it as a heavy metal band, except there's one minor flaw with their group. They suck. And they will never make it. And really, the movie was about that they really weren't that great. So in the movie, when the girl's like, hey, you know, you need to consider this, I'm like, stop, please consider, you're not that good, okay? And you really hurt for these guys because they still went out and did it until finally you realize that they're playing for like 10, 2, 3 people. But what's funny about the movie is that it won the Audience Award at Sundance. And it became such a popular film that when AC/DC opened up their American tour, called on Anvil to open up for all their shows in the US and Canada to like 80,000 to 100,000 people. And you know, I mean, that was pretty impressive, you know? So it's funny how the story was about how they didn't make it, and really it's what really helped them make it. I saw another, which forced me to see another heavy metal documentary. Did you see that one?
Yes.
Some Kind of Monster. Hilarious movie about Metallica trying to get a bass player, but going through the process of hiring this very straight-looking dude to be their traveling therapist to help the band deal with their emotions and their feelings. This is Metallica, folks, which was kind of funny because even they interviewed the bass player, and he thought that part of the interview process had to involve the therapist in the interview. And, you know, he thought that it's just, if you're going to pay for Metallica, you got to, like get in a fight with them to get in the band or something. So, funny movie, right?
I love that
movie. I just like how they can come in and do something. And what I like about documentaries, too, folks, is that we can make them. There are a lot of things that I've asked you that I could ask you right now. What would you like to make a documentary movie? If I told you right now, I'm going to fund your documentary movie, what would it be on? You know, does anybody have a crazy idea, something you've always wanted to do a movie on? Any? Just okay, by the way, you guys can make any mistakes you want in here.
Dad.
Which one?
On my dad.
On your dad? Okay, anybody have anything else? Yes. Okay, Cape Cod, okay. About which one?
Doing theater.
I met a teacher yesterday who wants to do a documentary about finally reaching the house where Aerosmith started. Is Amy or Erica here?
No, that's my teaching partner, Amy.
Yeah, Amy.
We're going to go see Aerosmith.
That's it.
Later on today, yeah.
There it is. I want to make a movie on like those, I don't know what you call those guys, those courier bicyclists that you see in big cities. I don't know if you're paying close attention. There are no gears or brakes on those bikes. My first question is WTF.
Yeah.
Okay? Then we'll start the movie that way. Okay? Why would you ride, have you seen them? Have you guys seen, how many of you seen those bikes? Why don't you sit there going, I'm like, really? Why wear a helmet? You know? While you're at it. We don't have a lot of time, so we're going to sprinkle a bunch of little tips of things that you guys can do. We have a pretty robust website that has video, that has text, that has live chats to us, to myself, former students, regular students that can answer any of your questions. So first and foremost, be rest assured that if you have a question, we'll try to answer it. Okay? You know what's funny? Have you guys seen, you know what, I always tell teachers and superintendents to do this. Have you guys seen Best Buy's 12th network? And have you seen that network? It's an interesting network. So Best Buy, what they've done is they put all of their employees on this network called 12th, which is Twitter. But the 12th is sort of their sort of cloud. And whenever you have a question on anything, you know, Best Buy-ish or electronic-based, you ask this network. It's on Twitter. And within seconds, you know, people respond to you. Like, what kind of computer? I have a technical question. And what happens is that I found out that based on how many times you help people, they actually track it at their corporate office. So whatever employees are providing most help get like bonuses. So I've discovered that I can ask any kind of question. I could be driving down the road and see something weird. Hey, what's that weird thing on the side of the road? And someone answers me right away. So it's I like the fact that we've created this network of support, because I still go to schools and teachers still are saying no one at my school can help me. I don't know how to do this. I don't want to do this because no one at my school really knows how to do this. And then I want to sit down with them and tell them there is this thing called the internet. And you can connect with others, because sometimes our colleagues aren't necessary people at our school. And that's the beauty of some of the projects that I'm going to share with you guys, is a lot of them actually did not take place just in one place. It involved writers in one place, you know, artists in another place, and then we put it together. Interestingly enough, I've been doing a lot of workshops in places outside of education, like airline companies, marketing companies, and it's very fascinating how to a lot of these places are talking about story. We've got to have a really clear story to our clients. Like, what is our story? And I mean, that's a really serious thing, because they really break down story in an interesting way. First of all, I find it funny that Fortune 500 companies sound more touchy-feely than schools do now, because they understand the importance of emotion when it comes to delivering messages. We know this from people like Dan Pink and so forth, who talk about emotional conversation and communication. We know now that by voting, people don't vote on intellect, they vote on emotion, and then use academics to support their emotional position on things. So these are just some challenges that I see. So one of the things I always find about interesting about story is that by definition, it requires an audience. And if your story requires an audience, there is an accountability factor that's there that traditionally doesn't normally happen in schools. Another thing I like about story is that there is an emotional component that are part of that story. It's not just facts. They're stories. Like, I always joke around with people. My little marketing support, instead of giving people facts, I try to find a creative way of saying it. Like, instead of 30 million people living in California, 300 million living in the United States, I say 1 out of 9 people who live in the United States lives in California. Or like, I have to fly to Australia. I remember telling my students when they would ask me, how far is Australia? I could tell them 15 hours or 17 hours. But it was much more interesting when I told them that it was so far, I saw the two guys sitting in front of me get drunk twice. Story is important. Now, when I ask folks, how important is video production for, like, pick an industry. Pick running for office. How important is video for that? How important is medical profession now? I mean, you go down the list. And just by asking, there's a lot of stuff you can't see. That screen there's actually texts right in there. All right, that's cool. But you guys could do this as well, I mean, even with your faculty and staff, because video isn't just that fun, silly stuff you do when you're finished with all the academic stuff. It could be some of the most academic work at your schools. I mean, I have the pleasure and the honor of being one of the directors on the Mythbusters. And let me tell you, I'm a pretty popular science guy. Thank you. Thank you. But one thing that makes that show extremely popular, guys, is you're not watching two guys teach math and science. You watch two guys learn. That's fundamental. That's one of the reasons why Discovery Channel is very different from PBS. PBS, you watch people teach you. Discovery, you watch people explore, people learn, right? It's a very different kind of paradigm when you showcase the work, because number one, again, going back to Mythbusters, do they know the answers at the beginning? Now, how about if I just told you the answers at the end, would that show still be great? No, because for you, actually, it doesn't matter if they succeed or fail, does it? You want to see that process. And that's the beauty, I think, of documentaries, that we have the ability to move away just of the answer, but really talk about that process. Okay? We also know, again, this is a conference where a lot of you guys are pretty savvy. 2 billion views a day on YouTube. It is, I mean, how many of you use YouTube to learn it? Like, that's your first step if you want to learn anything. It's okay, you can, maybe not anything, but a lot of things. You know, I had my hard drive, my music card, I had a hard drive go bad on me, and I wanted to know how to, like, I read online that if you just take the hard drive out, put it on another drive, that a lot of times it's just the connectors that's the problem. And so I said, cool. And I had like 500 gigabytes of my iTunes songs. Okay, so then I got my drive and I looked at it. I'm like, all I have to do is open it. All I have to do is open it. So after about 20 minutes of looking around, I literally typed in YouTube, how do I get this effing case off of my effing drive? Okay? I got 11 movies with the same exact title. Okay? It is a wonderful, I'm sharing that with you because, I mean, teachers, I always tell them, try it first. It's not as evil as you think. There are a lot of things on YouTube that you guys could have. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to say, on my iPhone, I was able to bring up a YouTube video while inside my car that told me how to fix something that was broken in my car when I was in the middle of Vermont. It was awesome.
Oh, that's a good story. I mean, give it a try, folks. I had dinner with a Catholic priest in Sydney. I heard him speak Spanish, and he was a Mexican guy, and I'm like, wow, I don't hear a lot of Mexican guys in Australia. So I figured I'd have dinner with him, try to connect back at home. I was there for 6 weeks, and he was telling me as a Catholic priest, he has to travel with these three books. Everywhere a priest goes, they have to travel with this book, and I forgot the name. And so he had an iPhone, and I looked it up, and there was one app that had the actual text of the book. The other app had like nuns reading it with music in the background. It was awesome. So all he had to do was leave the three books right at the dinner table. Folks, there are a lot of these. I always tell teachers, what's in hows, we could give those away to our kids. The whys are still things that we need to control. We need to control the why. We know the kids know the what's in the house. We don't have to tell that story over and over again about our grandkids know a lot more about technology than we do. I've heard it for 10 years. My son's 3 years old. My son's 5 years old. And he's like, he's fixated with cuttlefish and squid and anglerfish. I have no idea why he picks the ugliest, scariest looking things, but he's into them. But he doesn't know how to spell all of those, so he just kind of speaks into Google, show me videos of cuttlefish. And as you know, it shows you videos of cuttlefish. So my three-year-old goes, grabs my iPad, and goes, Transformers, Bumblebee. And there he's got his videos of Bumblebee. So folks, I mean, give the net an opportunity. We hear a lot at these conferences that kids are producers of content as well. But still, I'll tell you right now, to this year, I looked at a lot of technology plans and a lot of education plans. And even though their superintendents say the words like kids are producers of content, I just kept score when I read their plans. And guess which one dominates? Students as receivers, even in their districts. So we've got to make sure that we believe in this, that kids can produce content. It's extremely important. Which brings me to this. Last week at ITSC, did any of you go to ITSC conference? ISTE? What's that?
ISTE.
ISTE in Denver. Anybody here? One of the keynote speakers was Jean-Francois Richard. A lot of you probably know who he is. You've seen him at other events. Not the most dynamic speaker, but he has a real critical message. He talks about there are 20 serious issues that we somehow have to fix between now and 20 years from now. And it's interesting because he shares these 20 things. In fact, I have that slide here. And I'm sorry for it being so small, but it was meant for a handout, so I apologize. But if you actually just type in 20 issues, 20 ideas, 20 issues, he talks about, by the way, he was a former vice president of the World Bank. And I've now seen the head of the UN, the head of UNESCO, and the head of the World Bank all say the same thing, that the solution, folks, are not coming from these organizations. They have to come from our schools. Because there's no office that's called the solutions office. What's that? There's a problems office, lots of those. But there's not a solutions office. And you know what? The reason why they recognize that it's got to come from our kids is because they recognize that kids more than anyone understand social networking. And the only way you're going to solve these problems is that technology and social networking have to play a critical role in solving these problems. Problems like global warming, biodiversity and ecosystem loss, fisheries depletion, deforestation, water deficits, maritime safety and pollution, massive step up in the fight against poverty, peacekeeping, education for all, digital divide, I'm just kind of jumping ahead here, intellectual property rights. These are serious issues that have to be fixed. And I'm bringing this to our attention because as a social studies teacher, I teach the science of decision making. I like that. I had to figure that out because every time I said social studies, people would say, I hated history. So I changed it to the history of science of decision making because now it makes it harder for them to say, I hated the science of decision making. So, but I'm sharing this with you guys because what a wonderful opportunity to take whatever subject we're teaching and raise the level of awareness, one, on any of these subjects. But two, provide an action plan. What are simple steps that people can take even locally to solve some of these problems? I had a chance to meet the president of Brazil, and he made it very clear to all the educators in Brazil, I will only fund schools that make Brazil a better place. I loved that challenge because I think that that's a challenge that somehow I think we forget what we're about in school, you know, what is our goal. And to me, the documentary part is brilliant because what a wonderful way to take the stuff that we're doing and market them. And documentaries is a great way to kind of put them them up, which brings me to this. There's a lot of resources that are appearing online that are dealing with giving you guys ideas. Because first and foremost, documentary needs to be about the content. What are you going to talk about? And to me, I think these challenges are a great resource, a great starting block for a lot of you and for a lot of your kids to discuss, like, what can we make documentaries about? And what I think is kind of cool is that regardless of what you teach, from what level, from little kids to university, you can do something in your subject area about any of these subjects. So you have like websites like challengebasedlearning.org that's got some examples of what schools are doing. Now, the difference between challenge-based learning and project-based learning is challenge-based learning really just involves the kids also from the very beginning asking the fundamental questions. As opposed to, unfortunately, what happens with some project-based learning, still it's teacher-driven. However, going around myself over the last 2 years, I've had a chance to pitch a lot of companies this concept of challenge. And you know what? Every company that I've talked to has gotten really excited about it. Companies. Like yesterday, even there was a lot of, in the All-Star game, if you watched it, there were a lot of commercials towards Pepsi's Refresh Project. They're investing billions of dollars in providing schools and individuals and people money for good ideas. And in order for you to submit a good idea, do you think it's the text-based ones that are winning? No, it's the video ones that are winning. Now, the folks that have text-based ideas, the kids, what I love, and I have a lot of examples, and the one that I do, the longer workshop, I show teachers examples on how kids, even though they have a text-based solution, they'll find some other kid that can do the video. They don't care if the kid's in another side of the world to make a video promoting that specific idea. So Pepsi, if you guys go to the Pepsi, they're donating lots of money. Disney is jumping on the bandwagon. They're actually, Walmart has just started a project where they're going to fund individuals that come up with great ideas that make the world a better place. They're not doing this because they feel touchy-feely. They really care. Look at BP, right? $12 million to whoever comes up with ideas to deal with the spill. Didn't they just announce that? They realize that they can't do it alone. So I think what a wonderful idea, what a wonderful project to have our kids have that as a goal to kind of work. Phil, what's your issue? Was it .com or .org? Same thing. Fill me your issue. I like the fact that all of you come from different places and you can collaborate. Like one of the projects that I did for Google that they really liked is we did it on, like, I asked a simple question. Are levees wider in wealthier neighborhoods? That's all I asked. So all of a sudden, kids from 200 different points along the Mississippi River did these little measure tests. Like, then it turned into, like, all these science teachers turned it into, like, what's the dirtiest part of the Mississippi River? What's the dirtiest county? Other photographers jumped in and says, hey, let's do it on birds of the Mississippi River. So we have all of this comprehensive data within 1 month that was done along the Mississippi River. When it was just one simple challenge that came up. And sure enough, folks, you're going to start seeing some TV shows that are going to come out to kind of address some of these things. I just have this here because I have it online. You know, just some of the processes that we use when we're producing documentaries for TV shows. You know, simple things like what big idea, what are some of the questions, you know, what's the challenge, okay? One thing I always like, it's measurable because I want to know what that challenge at the end, what we can do to make a difference. I'll show you guys examples of that. This is sort of a little, just a kind of a list that the kids would work with and ways to deliver specific messages, depending on which group we're talking to. Publishing, very important. Again, students, not just recipient here, students as a producer of content. Working with these kids in Denmark, they didn't invent something that would prevent me from knocking this over. They did these barrels, these huge barrels, this big, like this, and they have these hooks that go on the side that people can wheel them forward or they can push them. Now, what's interesting about this, they're a real simple barrel, but what it is basically you fill it up with water. So instead of carrying water over your head, you can carry lots of water in this thing and wheel it. But then all of a sudden they found like there was this village in Bangladesh that even getting the water that way was not good enough because the water wasn't necessarily, it was contaminated. So someone invented a little tablet, a heavy tablet that you actually throw into the thing. So as it rolls, it purifies the water. And then someone else came up with another design, and I actually have these links where people almost have contests. Like, kids have contests on each other on solving these problems. Amazing. Independent of school. You know, they basically are looking at specific challenges. Because you guys can go to websites like Kiva. Have you guys heard of that? Yes. Kiva or K-E-V-A, I see some nodding heads. It's a website where people can basically go and donate money towards charities or organizations of their choice. And there's a description of what they do. So when you see like their challenge, kids are taking that to literally solve the problem, not just give them money. So again, I'll have some examples of that. All right. Hang on, let me get audio here. Did I have to do something with audio? Because it seems like I... It doesn't seem like there's...
Is there a button on the platform?
You know, that's a good question.
Yeah, there's nothing coming out of here.
Yeah, there's nothing coming out of there. Does anybody have a pair of speakers in their purse? Or in their bag? Yeah, there is no audio. You know, I left mine in. Oops, wait.
There's multiple.
There's another audio thing. See if this works. Okay, we've got two audio inputs. They don't. Oh, look, a third one.
There are many things Miguel is thinking about when he thinks of the word voting.
Wow, we have three different audio inputs. Isn't that funny? And they all don't work.
Miss voting. When does it happen?
All right, I'll leave it like this. It's in the room. I need a solution, though.
So now Miguel is going to personalize his question. He's going to focus the questions more.
Can somebody from the November learning team, can you guys run out and see what's going on?
Essential questions.
And I'll just explain through this one because of time.
How does it affect my life? Why is voting important for me in November? And he can use the help of his friends to think about more questions. What can I do to make sure my friends vote? How will the candidate...
So basically here, there's a, you know, kind of text explaining, we made a mistake. I'm going to rephrase what I'm going to say. We asked some folks from the university to take a look at challenge-based learning, and we asked them to write a description of it. And they wrote a beautiful one, but it took me several reads to understand what it... where they were like, how can I translate it on every day in my classroom? So what I did is I challenged them to take all the text and turn it into a little story. In this particular case, what are three things that we can do in our community to increase voting between kids 18 to 21 year olds? So what are three things? So what's the process that it took to actually get that? And we did this in this kind of silly way like this, okay? And then what's really cool is I started going online on YouTube. It always happens is you have folks that I always think compliment you by doing their own version of it. So since ours was basically geared towards secondary school, where are my secondary school folks? So like, you know, my example really kind of leads itself to a secondary example on things that the community can do to increase voting. So obviously some elementary school teachers wanted something that was more appropriate for them. So it was really funny how...
They have problems with too many geese in their neighborhood. They can't play kickball at recess because the playing field is too messy. This led to a discussion, and Juan, who just moved here from California, mentioned that they have problems with coyotes around their houses bothering their pets. Kanisha shared that she was visiting her grandparents in New Jersey this summer, and she saw a lot of deer near busy streets that almost caused car accidents. They noticed that in many parts of the world, humans and animals are competing for space. This led them to wonder, how can humans and animals coexist?
Now, I'm sharing you this because, folks, fundamentally, when it comes to the documentary, I have to showcase to all the other teachers that I am addressing some fundamental concerns they have, like, are the kids addressing the standards? You know, can you show me how they assess with all of this? So if I actually show them that there's the metacognitive process on how kids were thinking throughout the entire process, and actually capture that. Because what I like about documentaries is that it's not only the movie, it's the making of the movie that you turn in. So you can see how people are thinking throughout the whole process. So it actually makes it pretty difficult for folks not to see the amount of learning, the amount of writing, the amount of planning, the amount of thinking, and what's the structure like. So Challenge-based learning was just something that really just allowed documentary filmmaking, because that's really how we do Mythbusters. That's how other shows that I've worked on TV, same exact structure that we've used. Let me just go over here. So one of the fundamental things, again, this is probably one of the only, one of the fundamental things that I like about film, documentary filmmaking, or just filmmaking altogether, is that my kids become aware of what the product and process is. Too much school is just based on the product, like what we're going to turn in, the grade, etc., that we don't have a way to really focus on the process. What I love about filmmaking is that the movie itself, or the movie is obviously the product. What is the movie about? And then how are you going to make the movie? And what I liked about it is I have a lot of kids that are very strong in product, that are very product-based people, and I have other kids that are very process-based. When I deal with adults, I have adults that are very product-based and adults that are very process-based. In the past, I never really had their assumption. If the kids didn't understand the product, then they must have had some sort of the problem. But and I work with a lot of directors, George Lucas, I've worked with Wes Anderson, I work with quite a bit, Michael Mann, and they all struggled in school. They all struggled in school. So I like the fact that they had both, not only the product, but a process to make a film. Also, there are three different kinds of projects that you can work on when it comes to movies. You have narrative, documentary, abstract. You have different ways to plan for those. And again, we have those examples there. And so one of the fundamental things I want to show you guys is capturing A-roll and B-roll, but I want to make sure that we can get someone who can help me with audio, because it would really help. Oh, yes, Sonny's coming down. Okay, great. So again, how did we have audio in one and then it's all gone? Any audio experts in the class? Yeah, it's all right, because everything is all video based. And yes. Oh. You know what? I don't have a mic.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Okay, hello? No, I think the whole sound, I think the whole house sound thing is, I think it's dead, Jim. Yeah, because this is not working either. What's that?
Check the power.
Yeah, check the power on that. This is weird because stuff like this never happens at our schools, huh?
I'm actually documenting it to show myself. Nobody has a good class here.
Well, while they're doing that, I'll go ahead and explain some other things to you guys. You know, one of the cool things that we have available to us is like our iPods, and I see how many of you have flip cameras or the Kodak cameras. Oh, very good. So these are actually pretty good. Number one, they're not that expensive. I mean, compared to like $1,000 way back in 2007, you know, now they're like $100, $150. There's even less expensive ones. But if you have an iPod, you can put a microphone on top of it as well. So like if you're going to be interviewing someone, let's say for example, if you're going to do a documentary on one of the fun ones that I saw, I worked with these kids in Texas. They were going to a restaurant, and they were basically interviewing people at the tables. Now, they had already talked to the folks, so it's not as if they just, I see you're eating this. They were calculating the miles on who at this restaurant was eating the food that traveled the furthest. Isn't that a cool little project? Like, what has a, I know, because like you're sitting there in Boston, and you're like, I'll have the New Zealand, the sea bass, and the South African, this and so forth. So, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of miles, a lot of carbon footprint there. But what was really cool is that you could put the microphone on the iPod, you put it on the table, and you hit record, and you'll have someone on the table, like, clap, or use a little clapper, and then basically use this to record, like, the interview. So you don't have to worry about the audio off of this. You can get the audio off of this and then sync it together later on in iMovie or in Final Cut or Premiere, whatever other app you have. It's a great way to sync.
Can you record from the iPod?
Oh, just Audacity. Folks can connect it in Audacity. No, I thought touch, you could actually still connect the microphone to it.
Okay, and then what on the touch records?
Well, it actually has, if you upgrade the software, it has a recorder app. Oh. If not, you can download. There's many that you can, pardon? Oh, was that Sunny? Hey, Sunny.
Good to see you.
All right. But anyhow, folks, what's really, really cool about these is that they're inexpensive. And you know what, a good tip for you teachers? Last year I did a workshop in Brooklyn, and a teacher found these on Amazon because he could get them with different colors. He found pink ones on Amazon for like $89. What's great that I discovered when I buy pink ones, they always come back to me. Okay? So hint, hint, hint. Because my cool black ones, for whatever reason, sometimes don't come back. But my cool pink ones are always there. In fact, it's like, here, you forgot this. Okay? So anyhow, it's a great way. But documentaries, for the most part, it's what the person is saying, it's what's dominant. So it's really critical that you get those answers and you get real succinct answers. All of our films are under 5 minutes. For any of you that have seen any of our projects, they're under 5 minutes long. They're really short and quick. Some of you have seen some of our viral videos that we've done. There's a video that's been pretty famous over the years. This I did, it's called like When I Become a Teacher, I Want to Lecture All Night. You know, seen that, saying that? I did that one like in 20 minutes. And a real simple way just to collect the audio same way. I just kind of put a mic near them and then basically recorded the audio and then synced it later. And I'll have Elizabeth explain that. But for right now, for A-roll and B-roll, I'm gonna go ahead and what's that? Did you put that on here? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I want to start with that one because of time. Is that okay? You want to go ahead and talk about this one? Go ahead. Yeah, please.
So this is a documentary actually made a long time ago. When we were in high school, the project was we had to interview someone in our family, and we were talking about immigration. So in our school, there's a lot of kids who, like myself, a lot of our parents, grandparents come from Mexico. So this was a great assignment to go out and interview someone. And what I love about this assignment is that it's a great way for, because you find a lot of new things about your family that you just never knew about, that sometimes those questions just never get asked. And so there was this one, but I had this one moment that I knew that I wanted to capture on camera. And this is my uncle, who at the time would always talk about, how many of you have a family member that always shares the same story over and over and over, and it doesn't matter how many times you've heard it, they always share it, right? I mean, I think we all have someone like that in our family, and he had this immigrant experience of coming to the U.S., and he always shared about how he went to San Francisco and the language barrier, and so we really wanted to focus in on just that story, just telling that particular story. So this was a great assignment to be able to incorporate the family into the project. And so this is a documentary about my uncle talking about his immigrant experience in the U.S. And then we'll talk about A-roll and B-roll to it.
And let me add to that, because you mentioned it earlier, sorry for the interruption. They knew that I didn't like boring projects.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
I wanted to avoid this. Hi, I am Rosa, and I'm going to interview my grandfather about his immigration trip. Grandfather, what is your name? When did you come to America? Did you like it? I mean, how many of you seen those films? Oh, when they say how much charge, you're gonna see 50 of them. I'm going, really? Oh. You know, be creative. Like the challenge I gave them is like, what's that story, the essence? Like, what's that snapshot moment that really communicates my abuelito or my tío in this case, or in your case, is some of your relatives, that one story. And again, keep it short. Because it's just more interesting if you do it that way. So with that, the story is the most important. So remember, the A-roll, B-roll also has the key to this talk.
Yeah, I'll mention it after.
Adiós, mi chaparrita, no llores por tu pancho, porque se va del rancho. Y pronto volverá. Mi nombre es Antonio Cruz Nava, nacido en el rancho Buenavista, México. Allí nací
y ahí me crié y hasta que me volé y me vine para acá, para Estados Unidos. Me fui a San Francisco y allá estuve como 6 meses. Pues allí sufre uno mucho tocante a la idioma, por no saber uno conversar, no sabe uno pedir en comida, o a veces iba uno a las tiendas americanas y pues estaba por inglés y el español no lo hablaban. Y pues batallaba uno mucho para comprar algo así. Y luego entonces llegué a una cafetería y pues no había ni dónde ir a pedir comida. Y entré a esa cafetería y el único que me aprendí más era café y donas. Y llegaba yo allí y la señorita que atendía, pues ella me preguntaba qué quería, pues yo lo que sabía nomás le decía, I want a café and donas. Y eso estuve almorzando mucho tiempo, muchos días. Serían por unos 15 o 25 minutos. Luego entonces un día llegué en la mañana temprano y entró un señor americano y luego pidió un GMX. Entonces yo traía una libretita y a mi modo la apunté, ¿no? Apunté GMX. Y entonces eso ya otro día cuando fui, entonces en la mañana, entonces le pregunté a la señorita, le dije, GMX, dice, no more coffee donuts, no, GMX. Entonces luego, entonces me llevó el GMX, un plato con jamón, papitas, un pan, y bueno, y entonces llevé mi café, y pues vi una almorzada ya muy alto. Y ya después, en la mañana cuando me levantaba, iba ahí en el trabajo, iba ya a esa cafetería y entonces era lo único que pedía ya, nomás, GMX.
So one thing that's, I think the challenge right there was to make sure that we can create a story that is going to appeal to people, that people want to watch. I think what really helps, again, using, this is a little tip when you're making documentaries, the difference between A-roll and B-roll, right? The A-roll is when you see my uncle talking, right? And what would have, if do you think we would have, the movie would have had the same effect if I just used the talking head and the only thing you see is my uncle? Right? What helps is the images, the B-roll that you see, right? Even if it's, we don't have actual images of him in San Francisco, but we can kind of be playful with things, right? We don't have to, this is a great lesson again, literal versus figurative, right? We don't have to be literal, we can be figurative. We can have him in the kitchen. We can have him outside doing his everyday thing. And every time you see that, it's the B-roll, right? Whenever you see the talking head, that's the A-roll. The A-roll is what's driving the story, right? It's the story, right? He's telling you the story. But the supportive materials of adding these extra images help drive that message even more.
And did you storyboard those images ahead, or is it improv?
In this case, it was storyboarded in a sense that it's more of a shot list. Like, one thing that's good in documentaries that's different, for example, in narratives, right, when you actually have a script and a storyboard, is that you have more of what's called a shot list. So, for example, I kind of knew his story because he had told me before, right? So what I did is we knew we wanted to film him in his house, so we knew how we wanted to frame it, where we wanted to sit him, so we had an idea, right? Because once you lay that out, it makes the process a lot faster. Mm-hmm. Most of the projects, like Marco said, were under 5 minutes and were done in a few days. I mean, some projects even were day projects where we had to do them in 2 or 3 hours. So you have to make sure it's planned out, right? So for a documentary, you have a rough idea of what the story is, right? And then when you hear him talk, when we're sitting there, someone is there making a list of things that he talks about, right? He talks about the donut shop. Someone writes, okay, donut shop. So then we can go back and find what are the images that we can pair up with that. So that's kind of a tip for documentaries is, and also a good role for other students, is if when you're putting groups together, one student can be dedicated making that list so that one person can focus on asking the questions And then the other student can be writing down what is the person talking about and circling some things of what would be some good images that would go well with it.
Yeah, so just to go along, so for those of you that are non-technical, but the beauty of documentaries is you don't have to be technical to make a documentary. What she's saying is very critical. When you interview somebody, whether it's through a tape or a camera, most if there's another person, they're taking down notes on what they're responding, right? Or later on, you're watching the tape and you're making notes on what they're saying. Based on what they're saying, you're going to make a list of the shots that you are going to need. Now, in this particular case, they had one Saturday morning to shoot the B-roll. They couldn't go to San Francisco and shoot all that stuff. So basically, all they had was the garden. So they collected, you know, some of the things that would work in that particular regard. So, I mean, that's just something to consider because they don't have to take a long time. Teachers ask, well, how long do these projects take? I don't like them to last for more than a week because we've got all this other stuff that we've got to do, which I recognize that. So keeping these projects really short, sometimes you can do the interview and write a list of what shots you need, hand it off to someone else to then take that interview and then kind of put it together in editing. Because you don't know the editing part, it shouldn't stop you from doing that first part. This is where I would love to see more examples where teachers are doing little stories. Like, for example, a documentary I wanted to make when I was in Maine was, you guys told me there's an island called Ben Island because everyone's named Ben. Did you tell me? Who told me that story? Someone in Maine told me this. Somebody told me. But, like, you know, these stories. So I don't have access to go to Ben, but someone does. I give them a list of questions, a list of shots. They can send me the footage, and I'll edit it back home. So, I mean, this is kind of, it's just a listing process. So much of documentaries happen on paper. All of them have notebooks. So show up and show your notebooks. Come on, show your notebook. All my students, they all carry notebooks, and they all write down.
Just use my phone.
Yeah, and the new iPhone. There's an app for that. So they write it all down. Yes, do you have a question? Yes. Yeah, we actually have interviewing tips specifically on our website. We work with kids because we want to avoid these questions. Do you like America?
Yes.
What's your favorite Lady Gaga song? You know, I mean, it's amazing. We'll try to ask questions where the kids don't ask yes or no type of questions. Or, like, if you're interviewing someone, you want to tell them if they can include the answer, if they can include the question in the answer. We give them examples. We tell them things like, Ellie, I gave you a tip today on how to deal with interviews. About ums and ums. Oh, what
yes.
did I tell you?
So if someone's kind of hesitating from interviewing someone, first run might be a little that was it. So ask a few times to kind of loosen them up and then get them to kind of calm down, and then you get rid of all those ums.
We'll have conversational interviews, but it's very important that, like, ahead of time they do an interview, because I always tell people, if I already know the answer, I wouldn't want to necessarily ask them that. So I challenge the kids to find, you know, and plus in documentaries especially, one or two questions is enough. I mean, because of the time that we have, we really don't spend too much time on really big, extensive interviews. We don't.
They're not paying attention. Well, they're starting to, but they don't pay attention to the questions, because most of the time the questions are invalid. So have them think about what questions would have gotten that answer.
Yeah, I mean, they do. I mean, documentaries are the most watched form of TV, actually. People don't realize that. Like, any of those shows, American Idol, you know, those little interviews off the side. The Office is a good example of documentary, mockumentary kind of style, because it kind of in and out. Like, I think I use those as examples for teachers, like, to interview interview students. Rosa's just real quickly going to go through. What happened now? Refresh this. So any questions on that while we figure out now the next problem we're running into?
Can I share something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just recently, we worked on a project with myself and my crew, so it was like crew of three. And I was going to ask, I was about to do my interview, and I could tell the lady I was interviewing, she was really nervous because she was sitting down like this. She was like, you know, her nails, doing this whole thing. And I noticed she was nervous, so what I did is okay. So we went outside, we walked around. So I asked her the same question I was going to ask her, but it was more like a calm walking tone. She's like, so tell me, why do you like baking so much? You know, what is it about making cookies that you like so much? And we just having a conversation. The good point is to make them laugh. So I would try to make jokes like any other bad, but they laugh regardless. And then loosen them up. So at the time we were sitting, so I gradually walked back to the place I was getting interviewed. I sat down, I started asking questions, and I said, so went like this. They can roll, so pretend like she doesn't know that I was already interviewing them. I was just filming and walking on the conversation. At the end, I said, okay, we're done. She's like, wait, what do you mean? Oh, I chose to interview you.
But with little kids, too. I mean, I like to work with little kids too on like what questions would they want to ask, and we talk about it together, and then we just go in, and especially real cool little projects where they have to interview their local like police officer to talk about what's their favorite place to eat lunch or dinner. Those are fun little projects that involves the community. They love it, the kids love it, and it's kind of a cool little project. Find cool stores in your community. All right, go ahead, Rosa.
Okay, so this is an example, a really quick, I'm going to do it very quickly. We have these examples again online, but just a very quick example of how to do A roll and B roll. And I'm just doing it in my iMovie because this is what I have, but you can do the same thing, and we can share some other programs with you if you're on the PC side. So here's some video that we took of, we just worked with some students from Georgia, and I'm not talking about the state either. Here we have, what is this, A roll or B roll?
A.
A roll, right? Here's my talking head. So here I start off with,
I'm Nina and I'm from Georgia.
So she says, hi, my name is Nina and I'm from Georgia. So then I go ahead and find the B-roll that I want to play. I actually want to start with the wide shot because I kind of want to show where they're at. So I'm going to select a piece here, start with my wide shot, and I'm just going to drag it down. You see how I get a plus sign here? When I let go here, I get this option called, for some reason in iMovie it's called cutaway. But when I select cutaway, do you see how it adds it on top? So now if I go ahead and play, I'm actually moving because I want to start off with that here.
Hi, I'm Nina and I'm from Georgia.
And when she says Georgia, actually, visually, I want to actually show what that looks like to show that she's not from Georgia the state, but Georgia the country, right? So I'm actually going to trim this down because I want to add, and we didn't get a chance to talk about this, but a close-up of her showing where Georgia is. Right? So again, I select here my clip I want to add, drag it down again, right? Select cutaway, so it puts the B-roll on top. And so now when I play it, I'm gonna put that back to back there.
Hi, I'm Nina and I'm from Georgia. I speak four languages.
And then I can start to go add, so we can start building, right? So instead of just seeing a talking head, now when she talks about languages, right, we went out and shot something because she says her favorite language that she's learning right now is English. So then we can put that appropriately on there as well, right? So again, one of the things about documentaries is making that list of what's going to go well with what the person's talking, right? What's going to go well with the A roll. So that's just one way to do it in iMovie, right? Just dragging down. We were really excited because this we weren't able to do this before, but if you are able to do it really simply now. Fun, quick, easy way to do it. Documentaries now, even in like iMovie with what comes with your laptops.
And again, we have this tutorial online. And again, it doesn't matter if you use a PC as well. The concept here is you have one basic track, which is your main audio track. And then you have the other track that you would go out and find material that would work with what the person is saying. Okay, another kind of tip that I want to share with you, if you're going to add the B-roll, you want to add it before or after they finish saying something. Not in the middle of saying something. Just that odd natural pause in someone's voice is actually enough to give you a cue to move the video. Because a lot of times kids or teachers don't know when to add the video. So just when they pause, when they finish saying something, stop there and then add the video or end the video there so that it makes it a lot easier and smoother when looking at it. Because those little things is what's going to... I think we're in a position now where we can produce professional looking work even with little kids. you know, keep your project simple. Here's real simple. Like, I would love to have like a school where you look at the website, instead of seeing just a picture of the teacher, you could see like a little cool little clip of a teacher. So that's a little introduction, 10 second little tip to kind of introduce the world. So really cool. So any questions on A-roll and B-roll? That's just a quick little tip we wanted to share on that. Is that okay? Is that cool? I think I'm gonna do an audio tip now with you guys gonna appreciate this quick audio tip with Elizabeth. Sorry that we're experiencing these little technical problems. Oh, we have a web. Well, if I said it to you now, I have to spell it for you. But it's Alas Learns. Yeah, and basically what it's on the website, you will see like any how to. Or yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, ALAS.
Yeah, and we'll put it up on here so everyone can copy it down.
But we're always amazed at how many teachers actually come to us and you know, get these little tips. Because believe me, we really, really get into the detail on everything from interviewing, story ideas, and so forth. .com, yeah. Yep, learns, plural. Yes, sir. Right.
What's the PC side?
Well, I mean, if folks, if they can buy Premiere, I don't know what Premiere is. Yeah. What's the Premiere Elements? Yeah. What's it called?
It's Adobe Suite.
Yeah, I mean, that's my favorite one on the PC side. Movie Maker really drives me insane. I was at a school. I had to edit all of the kids' movies on my iPhone because it was driving the kids crazy. So we edited. We took all their films and saved it on the iPhone and edited it there. But it's called Premiere, Adobe Premiere. Now, I will tell you teachers this. Between this year and next year, you are going to see a suite of applications that are going to be online based that will allow you to edit video online. Yeah, it's an online based editors that over the next year. Pardon? Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I've been at some schools where we have to have like support after the day just because of our challenges with Movie Maker. Well, it's meant for different things, you know. It's meant for just quick little things to clip together. A really cool tip, folks, is audio. Man, with audio is probably one of the things. I always tell schools, please make sure you get the audio right. It's because that's what's driving the story, is what someone is saying. Not necessarily how someone is looking, but really what someone is saying. So folks, what's really cool is that we want to make sure that we get the audio part right. And Ellie, if anybody can get the audio part right, it's this magnificent woman.
All right, so quick audio tip. How many of you have flip cameras?
A lot.
Yep, a lot. So sometimes when we're filming with these cool little cameras, they're great, they're handy, they're inexpensive. The audio sucks sometimes, yeah. Just plainly. So a great solution, what we like to do is we get these little hand recorders. We also have these little attachments for the iPods and stuff that we mentioned earlier. And let's just say I'm shooting, Miguel, could you be my model? If I were shooting Miguel, what I could do is I could have another student, I'd be filming him right here, and I'd have another student right near him. Oh, thank you. So Marco would be shooting Miguel, and I'd be over here hidden where you can't see the audio good, not in the frame, and I would point this hand recorder at him, so I'm getting audio recorded straight onto here as well. And then what I'm gonna do is in iMovie, I'm gonna sync these two together, I'm gonna get rid of the audio track on here and replace it with this one, because this is nice, crisp, good audio. So
you have to connect to video, you're not connected at all. Pardon?
What's that?
This is called the Zoom H4, and that's what, Bob, I saw you have the Zoom H2, right? This is the H2. How much is this? It's like 100 something.
$46
on Amazon. $27 on B&H. And this is a professional little recording device. And it's very stereo. So whenever you hear Bob's podcast, you'll hear me on this side and then you'll hear me on this side. So it's cool. Zoom. Z-O-O-M-H-2, that's this one, and the H4 is this one. So if you're going to make a little note, the reason we like this one, it's got XLR input, so those of you who are who already are doing some video stuff, you can use high-end microphones straight into here. For those of you that are doing like performances and theater stuff at your schools, you guys can go from your mixing board straight into here. So when you're going to edit a little cool video, you can get really professional sounding audio on these as well. So that's why we like this.
And is that easy to get onto the computer?
Really easy.
Super easy.
And it reads it right on.
It's a mega file. It goes straight into your audio folder, which is great. Okay? I'll put these two next to each other. Yes, ma'am. No, no, no.
Zoom H2, the second one is Zoom H4.
Correct. And I think that drops. It's over. This one's under $200. But, folks, it may sound expensive, but this is what, like, folks on NPR are using.
So,
yeah, I mean, you are definitely getting something. But, again, those of you that are really thinking of doing this seriously at your school, folks, I really, really do recommend it. I mean, the sound, whenever I put kids here, when I put headphones on kids when they record, like, wow, that sounds fantastic. Okay, go ahead.
So many of you may be wondering, how do I get the audio from this to match up with the audio over there? What we do, we clap recording. Oh.
Sorry, did you have a question, sir? Sorry, this pole got in my way.
Oh, okay, perfect. So we clap. And what that does is that in my audio waves, when in my editing system, iMovie, Movie Maker, whatever I'm using, I'll see this big spike in audio, and you'll see the sound levels also just hit like your little red bar.
So it looks like this. There's Miguel. Here she is on the recorder. And then again, folks, let's assume I have here. Let's say I've got a flip camera. This is a flip, okay? No mic inputs. And we've got this thing here, and she's holding it. And so as a director, she will yell out, roll audio, and she hits record, and I hit record. And then after a few seconds, we asked Miguel or somebody to clap very loud. So can you clap loud? By doing that, it generates a spike, like a visual spike in the editing. So when you open it up in editing software, you could see the spike on that and the spike on this. This lets you know, or your editor know, to sync it up and eliminate the sound off of this camera. Because what happens with the flip camera, folks, is that I see this all the time. Some kid is videotaping an interview, and he happens to have cold or asthma, and when you watch the video, it sounds like Darth Vader is doing the videotaping. So you want to make sure that you can eliminate that. Plus, what's really cool about this, you'll love this. Middle school teachers, where are you? You know what you're gonna love about this? You have the person videotaping, you have the person videotaping, then you have that kid that cannot wait to be the videotaping dude or girl. Right? Then those two boys used to punch each other in the back of the class. Now they actually have a job. They can do the audio stuff too. So you've just distributed more roles for the process.
I took this thing last year, and everything was teaching and I was doing in my class. I will tell you, the last thing the kids worry about is audio. They won't check it. No matter what you do, they will not check their audios. The number one thing that ruins their video is the audio is bad. And I can't tell you how much stuff, how much amazing video footage we have had to throw away because the audio is terrible. So if you're gonna start teaching this, the number one thing to make them do is really look at the audio. And I was just on eBay and they have a voice recorder for 99 cents right out there they're selling. So really looking on eBay for some of this material will really help. But you have to get them to do the audio first. Because with still picture, you can replace your video. Nothing replaces that audio.
So, but when you say sync, you mean it's not going to be like one of those Japanese movies?
No. Well, we'll demonstrate.
But you can make those. Those are kind of cool, too. I think the kids at this school are great. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the clap really helps.
Okay.
It does.
Yep.
She's going to demo that right now.
So this is just a quick little clip that we filmed this morning with our good friend Julia, who's here presenting at the conference as well. So I'll just play a little bit.
Do you have audio connected to it?
You can see, you can't really hear her that well actually at all because this is the audio actually coming from my iPhone. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna drag this clip here into iMovie. And then I have my audio clip over here over here in my window that's coming through my iTunes that has my good audio. It's the one I recorded here on my hand recorder. And I'm gonna drag this over.
Now, did you name it?
Yes, it's called Julia.
Folks, those of you who've done kind of videos before, you know what I don't like? When I go up to a kid and says, which untitled one is yours? Okay? Which of the 17 untitled files in the folder is yours. Okay?
So if I play this, now it's gonna, you're gonna see I have two audio tracks going, so it's going kind of crazy. Two different soundtracks going on.
Photography, which is often thought.
So I have two audio tracks going on, so I want to eliminate one of them. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to go into my clip trimmer, and I'm going to clip my clip.
Can you clap a little bit higher?
There we go. So that's where I see her clap. So where I see her clap and hear her clap, I'm going to drag my clip. I want to start there.
But watch the meters on the right, everyone.
See how it goes from...
The little green bar.
Yeah. So I'm gonna drag this over, and right when I see my levels go really high, which is right about there, I'm gonna hit done, and it's gonna get rid of the clips that were there before. So I'm having it right when she claps. So I'm gonna get my audio now. I'm gonna do the same thing. I'm gonna click on my little wheel right here, and I'm going to go to my clip trimmer, and where I hear my audio spike is where I'm gonna start this one as well. So if I hit play. There we go. See that?
Well, give you more seconds. Give yourself more seconds on the bottom. You know that thing?
Yeah.
Ahí está, mamita.
Well, we're going to expand this a little bit. There we go.
Perfect.
Sorry, it's slipping.
There you go.
There we go. So I'm going to hit done here, and what I'm going to do now is I'm going to make sure that this is pushed all the way, because if my audio is pushed a little to the right or to the left, it's not going to be right on cue. So I'm going to push it to the beginning of my clip, and I'm going to get rid of the audio for my first clip. So the way I'm going to do this is I'm going to go to my audio clip.
Well, first click on your video. Yeah.
Yep. And then I'm going to go to audio adjustments. I'm going to get rid of this audio because I don't want the audio for my camera.
Yeah, so she's going really fast because the video clip is the audio we want to remove. We recognize that's the bad audio, asthma, Darth Vader, gone, okay? So then we keep the good stuff.
So I'm going to go into my other clip, and I'm going to higher the volume a little bit on here as well. Now, when I play my clip now...
Which is often thought of as the art and science of...
Big difference, right? We hear
that?
Let it
play for a while.
Okay. Capturing light...
Do you guys like that tip?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Do you want me to show the final cut?
Bob, you had a question.
Does iMovie let you see the spike, you know, the actual audio spikes, or like GarageBand lets you see the audio spikes?
Yeah,
you see it slightly. I don't know why her audio was that low, to be honest with you. That's the first time I saw it. Normally, you do see it. I don't know why she...
You can see it a little bit.
You can see it there. But folks on the PC side, same thing. You could see... The audio spikes, and you guys have to do it a little bit louder because I still think that they recorded it pretty low. Real quick, let's put the website up on that. Let me put the website up for this, folks. I know that we've run out of time here. We're going to be doing workshops, well, kind of tip shops, I call them, throughout the week. If you guys have any specific questions, please feel free to come by and ask us. We're very accessible online. If you guys want to collaborate on projects, we can be a hub for that as well. And with that, oops. I'll put this one up here. Oops. And sorry, it's kind of small, but here you go. Please stay in touch with us, folks. We're really excited about this. We really believe in this stuff. You've tried it at school, and we hope to check out what you guys are doing. So thank you guys for bearing with us for that. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Rosa, wherever you are. Thank you, Miguel. All right, guys. Well, enjoy the rest of your day, rest of the conference. We'll definitely be around.